And welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward.
So, Dan.
Yes, Jennifer.
I think it's time for a checkup.
Are we role-playing here?
We're not role-playing.
Okay.
We're talking about how we're doing, which would be a check-in. But I think we need to do a check-up because I have 3 doctor's appointments in the next 2 weeks. And I know that you also have a doctor's appointment.
I do have a doctor's appointment coming up.
And I think it's interesting because does your doctor's appointment have anything to do with your multiple sclerosis?
It doesn't.
Nor do my 2 doctor appointments. I'm going to see doctors, and it doesn't matter that I have MS, but at the same token, the doctor's appointments are all going to kind of have a big old banner of multiple sclerosis hanging over them. Is that fair to say?
You know, it is, but it's interesting just how, when you talk about this, that it's like doctor's appointments, and none of them have anything to do with multiple sclerosis on a high level anyway.
Right.
So tell me then, what are these doctor's appointments of which you speak? Are you scared?
I'm not scared so much as it's just, well, you know, Dan and I have multiple sclerosis.
What?
Yeah, no kidding. It's the truth.
Oh, okay.
And he's walking, as he said, and I'm rolling because I've been using a wheelchair for the past 2 decades. And that wheelchair, that piece of my existence, I think really adds a different level to a doctor's appointment, especially the doctors that I'm going to see in the next week and a half, 2 weeks.
So I guess, don't mince words. What are the doctor's appointments that you have coming up? You tell me yours, I'll tell you mine.
Oh, that's fun, like an 8-year-old game.
Exactly.
I'm going to see the girl doctor. I'm going to see a gynecologist. And I'm going to a dental cleaning. And so those are my appointments. Now you show me yours.
I'm going to a foot doctor.
Wow.
I know. And that's... These are things that it is kind of interesting, or it's just the fact that our lives don't revolve around multiple sclerosis, our doctor's appointments. I mean, there's a lot more to your health than multiple sclerosis. And my foot doctor, I've seen multiple podiatrists, and it's like the ever elusive reason as to why my feet are killing me. I mean, for the last 5-7 years, and I've had doctors, they all pinpoint and think that it's plantar fasciitis, to which I'm like, are you sure? And then finally, the first podiatrist that I had gone back and seen multiple times had finally said, you know what? I don't think it's plantar fasciitis. It's like, is this not what I've been telling you for the last...
Really, doctor, you can listen to your patient every once in a while.
And so, but it is something where it's just like pain in the arches. And it's just like, you know, you've commented, I've had other friends comment just that my gait is so different. And it is, it's just, you want to, and people want to just jump in and say, oh, it's because of multiple sclerosis. And I'm like, but I don't think so. And I even asked our neurologist, Dr. Braley, multiple times, could this be multiple sclerosis? To which she says, no.
And so that's your due diligence that you checked, you know, as you mentioned, your gait's a little off and you checked with your neurologist. And as a matter of fact, we've seen some physical therapy students as of late. We've been very fortunate to be involved in a program with the Central Michigan University Physical Therapy Department. and those students have looked at you and they haven't said anything about, oh, you should see a doctor, that your walking looks funny, or your neurologist. So you are going to see a podiatrist to try and get to the root of the problem.
And it is. And I think this is encouraging, because this particular podiatrist I've seen multiple times, and he finally, the last time he was there, this is insane. He said, I don't think it's plantar fasciitis with the place on your feet, because it's in both feet. It has nothing to do with the heels. It's in the arches. And he said that he thought it could be just, I mean, in my words, not his, but almost like mangled nerve stuff in the areas of the feet that hurt. And so he had had me go in and get x-rays for them of my feet to see. And so this is, it's like a big reveal of like, what do the x-rays say? And so I'm excited. Not that I get my hopes up, because, and it's not because I have multiple sclerosis and there's no hope for doctor visits, but it's just like for my feet in the last 5 to 7 years, it's just been more of the same every time with podiatrists and not finding the answers.
And it has been one of those things where you have tried numerous stretches, and you bought the little rocky thing to stretch out your feet. You've had numerous pairs of shoes.
Numerous orthotics.
So it will be, I'm hopeful for you that you will go to the podiatrist and he will give you some relief. More than, he will give you answers more than relief, because you've had temporary relief. You've had injections in the arch of your feet.
And it does help for probably 4 or 5 days tops, you know, and so it will be interesting. And so that's the doctor's appointment. It will be interesting. But then let's talk about, and this, I mean, obviously this is a very, you know,
sensitive, private,
exactly,
very, I'm telling the world,
sensitive, private and stuff. But I mean, this is pretty much, as I understand, I mean, this is just like a routine checkup.
It is. And I have questions because I am getting a little bit older, and the natural part of aging is I'm afraid I'm like perimenopausal, and I want to ask questions. I want to know just what I'm looking at, if I am in fact having hot flashes, which I don't think I really am. I just sleep under a lot of covers, but I am sweaty at night sometimes. And so I want to know that, but to go to a gynecologist, come on, we're all grown-ups here. We can talk about this.
And we are. And I think that's just that comes with the level of maturity, I guess, and just the sense that, you know, you're pushing 50. I mean, I know it hurts.
At least I'm not there yet.
Okay. But I don't wake up in night sweats either. So, but it is, I think it's just, you know, that we go to bed and it's so cold when you go to bed. And so you have the electric blanket on, and eventually your body catches up and it's,
nice cover.
But it is, I think just, but it is, the question is then, when you're talking about doctor visits and everything, I mean, do you get nervous? I mean, has your multiple sclerosis made you, is it callous, or just like, or it's just like, if you're not going for multiple sclerosis checkup or multiple sclerosis anything, is it kind of like the minor leagues?
It's the minor leagues, but right now I feel like this is pretty major.
Yeah.
And I feel like that when I go to a urologist, because that's a big issue with multiple sclerosis, right, is urological function, and, you know, to have to go get a urine sample. I can't do that just like anyone else because I need assistance to travel to the or to use the bathroom. I need your help to stand up and to get on the toilet.
Well, and then just everything with the hat and just the whole collection.
Correct.
Well, and it is. I think those are things in dealing with multiple sclerosis, even for non-MS kind of things. Your MS, my MS, still play into this stuff because you can't just show up to the doctor's office and they say, "Can you give me a urine sample?" It's like, well, it's a production.
It's a production, and kind of like going to the gynecologist is going to be a production because I do have to, stirrups are involved. Again, we're adults here. You have to get up on a table, and I can't just do that. You know, I'm going to need your help. You'll have to be in the exam room, and to be perfectly honest, my caregiver, Jen, I have to be in the exam room because I can't hold my legs in that position.
Well, I can't do it by myself. I mean,
no. And there's some spasticity at play because there's always spasticity in play with my multiple sclerosis. So it's helpful to have the two of you there. And while the visits are brief, you know, you're only up there for 5-6 minutes, that's a long time when you're not used to being in that position and when you have uncooperative legs. And so I'm a little nervous about that. And it's, you know, it's uber personal and you have two other people in there. But I'm very lucky that I have a super supportive husband and I have a very understanding caregiver in Jen, who's an adult and very professional. So I'm doing that, and so that's Happy Friday. And then, and then next week, I have to go to the dentist, which sounds simple enough, but much like flying on an airplane, I have to get out of my chair to get into an airplane seat. I have to get out of my chair to get into a dentist chair to get my cleaning, get the x-rays. So you have to be there to transfer me. And then I go to a pretty kick-ass dentist who is strong. And if I'm all bent down or slouched down in the chair, the doctor, he will move me up and scooch me up. Because, again, he's strong and he's able to do that. But you have to, you know, we have to go to appointments early in the morning so that you're not at work and we can get that done before you go to work. So it's a little, it's the minutiae of having a disability, the little details that you have to factor in. You need your husband to take you, not just your caregiver. Or when you go to the girl doctor, you need your husband and your caregiver. So it's just those doctor appointments. I'm a little, it's not nervous, but it's just like, thank heavens I only have to go once a year. Well, to the dentist, I go way more. I go 2 or 3 times a year, which is good because I like my teeth. But
I do too.
Thank you. So those are big things. And you know, even going to the neurologist, for you, Dan, it's not just a quick pop in and see a doctor. You have to drive, 2.5 hours to see your doctor in person. And since COVID, we have not seen the neurologist in person. We've seen her virtual visits numerous times because she's a good doctor and she keeps in touch with us. But to actually go to the doctor, you have to carve out a big chunk of your day.
And it pretty much is taking the day off just to see the neurologist. And those are things that just go above and beyond the realities of just people who have local physicians or, you know, even a local neurologist. I mean, we need to go to an MS specialist, you know, somebody mm-hmm. that handles this. But, you know, we talked about the major leagues versus minor leagues, or it's just this kind of visit. when you go, and this is just a question, and we had talked about this earlier, just as far as like when you go to see a new doctor, that a new meaning you've never seen them before, they've never seen you. I mean, it's like, how much do you talk about multiple sclerosis with them? I mean, and is that where you're at a disadvantage because you use the wheelchair? And as we talked in previous episodes about the difference between visible and invisible disabilities, I mean, you use a wheelchair. And so...
Well, I'm fortunate that we live close to a really good health park, that's a number of doctors are in the same facility, so I know that it's accessible. But when I go to a new doctor, I have to make sure that the office is accessible. No stairs, or if there are stairs, they have an elevator. I have to make sure that there's enough room. I mean, I have been in some itty bitty doctor's offices over the year where it's like my wheelchair and another chair for the doctor that fits in the office. That's about it. But I do think it's a little fair of me to warn them. And but I don't want them to chalk everything up to my multiple sclerosis. And you, Dan, I know that's a big that's a big gripe of yours.
Well, and that's where I'm bad, or maybe as we just talked about being mature adults, I'm very immature when I have a new doctor. I mean, obviously, if the reason I'm there is something that I know is MS related, I will elaborate just to shave the time to where, you know. But at the same time, if it's a new doctor, I won't say anything. Obviously, they can see my chart, see my history. But I don't like talking about the multiple sclerosis until I have to, because I don't want to go in with an issue like with my feet and just all of a sudden have the doctor, the podiatrist, just up and say, oh, it's MS. And, you know, as I sat there and squawked about just the podiatrist and everyone saying plantar fasciitis, I'm grateful that they saw it as that and didn't pigeonhole it as multiple sclerosis. And so I just don't want doctors to just, like, be lazy about it and just say, oh, it's MS. Well, okay, but is it?
Yeah, I think that's very true. And for me, with me being in a wheelchair, it's easy just to say it's that. But at the same token, I'm overweight. So they can say, oh, it's because you are overweight. If your back hurts or your feet are hurting, oh, it's because you're carrying around too much extra weight. And now if my back hurts, let's say, oh, it's because you sit in a wheelchair all day. So it is easy. I mean, they are doctors, and they're going off the information that they can gather from seeing you quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, what doctor sees you for any more than 15 minutes anymore? And that's why it's difficult for doctors to see people like me, patients in a wheelchair. You know, they don't have the equipment. They don't have, you know, my gynecologist, I had a doctor that I really, really, really liked, and you liked him as well, and he was super nice, but he was in the town where we live, but he lived about 45 minutes away, or his practice was based about 45 minutes away, and he stopped coming to where we live. Stopped coming to Mount Pleasant, and we just, I mean, it wasn't practical for us to go see him at his other office. So we found a gynecologist here in Mount Pleasant, but the first, when we knew we were going to see a new doctor, we had to go in and see if her table lowers where it's reasonable for you to transfer me to the table, because doctors won't do that, nor should they. But I wanted to know, would the table lower, because I can't get on a tall table. It's that kind of equipment if doctors don't have that. Or when's the last time I weighed at a doctor?
I was going to ask. I mean, because, and that's part of an article that we were talking about earlier, just in terms of physicians not seeing people with disabilities.
There was a study recently, like a 2022 study, I believe. And the woman behind the study, her name is Tara Lagu. I'm probably saying that incorrectly, but she was just talking about the fact that doctors often do not want to see patients with disabilities. We have a lot of baggage, literally, and, you know, probably in my case, figuratively, and more literally. I screwed that up, but we have a lot of baggage. And so if you can't weigh me, you just have to guesstimate. Or the reason I could always tell people how much I weighed is because I was using Weight Watchers. And so I would get weighed there because they had a scale where you and I can both weigh.
I was going to say, but even with that, even with Weight Watchers, they did not have a scale where you could just like roll your chair up on there and then knowing how much the chair weighs. It's like, you know, how we did it. I mean, they would weigh me and then I would help you stand up. We'd be on the scale together and they would subtract my weight. And that's just good fortune that we could do it that way. But I mean, you go to a doctor's office. Yeah, it's like you just don't. I mean, you're just like either guesstimating or saying, you know, I weighed this when I was at Weight Watchers.
Correct. And they have to be on your honor system. But, you know, that Weight Watcher class that I went to, it had an asterisk next to it that it was handicap accessible. You go 30 minutes from where I was having Weight Watchers. And they may not have had a handicap accessible scale. So I was very lucky. And doctors, you know, when you and I go for our every 6 month infusion for our disease modifying therapy, they have a wheelchair scale, but it's one where I think you and I would be hard pressed to figure out we would do it because you're good like that. But it would be difficult to get my weight. And so it is difficult. And I understand with doctors that it's, you know, it's more difficult to help a patient with a disability. You know, this article that we're going to have a link to in the show notes. There was one doctor who was talking about having a deaf patient, and he would hire an interpreter when she would come in, and he ended up spending $30 more than he got the insurance paid him to see her so that she could have a good visit with the doctor. Or, you know, it is those the wheelchair scale or the table that lowers, that seeing a patient with disability, all kinds of disabilities, can make it a little more difficult. But look at our society. Disability is everywhere. So doctors need to get more comfortable with that. And I'm blessed. You and I, Dan, we've always seen doctors that I've never felt like where they're put off having a patient with a disability. I know my urologist, who I'm really fond of, she treats me like anyone else, or I imagine she treats any other of her patients. And I go for every 6 month Botox injections in my bladder, which we've talked about on the show before, to manage my urinary issue. She never, ever has made me feel like, oh, Jennifer, that's going to be really difficult to get you up there on the table to do that. She just does it as part of her day. And I know when I go to the gynecologist, my doctor's only concern was, can you have someone to transfer you to the table again? Because that's not her responsibility. And then when I bring up my spastic leg, she's like, we can have room in there for two people to help. So doctors, in my experience, have been accommodating. I don't know if everyone feels that that's accommodating, but for me, I think it's plenty good.
Do you, and I'm just, you know, thinking out loud and everything, but it's like, all I was going to say is that, like, you know, bringing me and Jen to this appointment on some levels, I don't want to say it's like meeting them halfway, but it's sort of like, you know, in terms of like accessibility, accommodations and stuff. I mean, just to where you're like putting yourself out there. It's just like, and you know what you need, what you need help with. And it's just like, do you feel better because you know you're taking care of that and not leaving in the hands of other doctors or doctors to make sure that, because we've gone to places where they want to help transfer you. And it's just like, I just want to say, hold my beer and just stand up. You know, let me handle this, because it's just like,
you know, how
there's so much that comes with being a caregiver to where I know what your legs need. And I know, and that's what I love about, you know, at the dentist and the hygienist. I mean, Jody just, she just stands off and just, she knows when I need her help, she knows what to do. But until then, it's just like, just let us do our thing.
Right. And I appreciate also that you are willing to transfer me and do that. And our primary care physician, we both see the same neurologist and we both see the same primary care doctor. And I imagine that if you needed to help transfer me there, that our doctor would be like, okay, I'm going to let you do this. And he has never once made me feel like my concerns, my primary care doctor, aren't important because I have MS. Or like, oh, her plate is full enough, let's not worry about other issues. Because that would be really negligent, and he's a good doctor. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why I feel very fortunate to have the doctors that we do. But I know it's probably easy to just explain away so many things because of a disability, because you're overweight, or because you don't walk. And so doctors have a little extra work to see patients with disabilities. But as you pointed out, patients with disabilities need to meet their doctors halfway and do that little extra, you know, to do what we can to make our different bodies. And I know potentially people will not be fond of me saying that we need to try and be as helpful as we can.
Well, and a lot of that too. I mean, even if it's not a question of making sure that I'll have my entourage there to take care of me. But I mean, how much of what you do, I mean, thinking and talking about new doctors and everything, to have that conversation before you even set the appointment, then just be specific about, okay, it's kind of what you need. And it's just like, and you say, are there steps? How big is the room? How can we do it? And is it almost like, when you check in or you make reservations at a hotel and you want to make sure, okay, I need a barrier-free room, and you're very specific about what I need. So then as you make an appointment with a doctor, just to use that kind of due diligence to say, okay, being specific of these are my needs, this is what I need. And so then it's like very much advocating for yourself and not leaving it, you know, not leaving it in the hands of the doctors to figure out, because that, with that article, it's like one of the most bizarre things as we talk about the Americans with Disabilities Act and needing for public restrooms to be accessible and restaurants and things, just what's required by law. And then you just think, I guess you never expect that a doctor's office wouldn't meet ADA regulations or wouldn't have accommodations or be willing to serve patients with disabilities.
But it's easy for doctors to say, oh, we don't take your insurance, or we don't have any openings. There's sneaky little ways that I imagine, if a doctor doesn't want to see a patient with disability, they can get their way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to believe that doctors wouldn't do it, but some older buildings that are more difficult, those tiny little offices. Yeah, I can see a doctor saying, oh, Jennifer, we just don't take your insurance, or we don't have openings, or I am reading the article again. We'll link to it in the show notes, where the doctor said, I don't think I'm the best doctor. And this didn't happen to me. This was in the article, where I just don't think I'm the most qualified doctor to deal with your situation.
It's me.
Exactly. And, you know, as you're talking, I was thinking about, I recently, again, we're grownups, I had my mammogram. And, you know, that's getting your boob squeezed, just to put it in just really simple speak. But I go in there and I can't, you know, you're my caregiver. I can't change my own shirt. And so there's a really nice woman that works the tech for the mammograms, and she always helps me. But those days, Jen, my caregiver, is right there to help me get my shirt off, to put my shirt back on.
Well, and my understanding too is you have to to get the angles and stuff. You have to totally contort your body and your arms and things. I say, oh, that's what I've heard. But I went with you the one time. And I mean, just.
Those
are things you just can't do by yourself.
And so it is good. And if you don't have a caregiver, you don't have a Jen, it would be good to bring someone, you know, family member or a good friend,
mm-hmm.
someone that can help you with that, someone that can hold your legs when you're in a gynecological appointment, or somebody that when your boobs are getting squished can help you get in those crazy angles. So I think that, you know, yes, we have multiple sclerosis, but you and I see a lot of other doctor's appointments mm-hmm. where MS isn't the reason, but it plays a big part in the appointment.
And it's just knowing when it needs to be a part of the conversation, and when it just, you just need to leave it in the car and not even bring it into talk. And so that's where, you know, and this is fortunate for us with these upcoming appointments, they're not new doctors, they're not new appointments. A lot of it are just checkups and follow-ups and everything, but it still makes it very real, and you wonder if it's anything new, is MS involved?
I hear you. Wow.
Well, I wish you the best at your doctor's appointment, Jennifer.
Well, thank you. You're going to be there, so.
I'll be there cheering you on.
And you'll be there at the dentist appointment. I wish you the best, and I hope that you get the results that you're looking for. And if not, there are more doctors out there.
And that just goes with being your best advocate and finding the doctors that are going to get you the care and the treatment you need. So, wow. Well, thank you all for listening again to A Couple Takes on MS. And just want to follow up and say, if you want to get in touch with us or stay in contact, check us out on our website at acoupletakesonms.com, or you can reach us on Twitter at @CoupleTakesOnMS. And if you want to contact us by email, have a question, you can reach us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. So again, listen, like our show, share it, review it, subscribe, and tell other people about it, because this is just different perspectives about multiple sclerosis, because we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman, rolling at ya.
And together, we're moving forward. Take care.